I want us to turn our attention to a passage of Scripture that is tucked away. When I call out the name of this book, some of you, possibly a lot of you, are going to have to stop and think just a little bit where it's located. The Book of Lamentations. Anybody know where it is, right? Where it's tucked in between? No, it's not after Ezekiel. It's before Ezekiel. It's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's one of those books that is just squeezed in. And I say squeezed because Isaiah's long and Ezekiel's long. And here's a little five-chapter book of Lamentations. Lamentations. It's the lament of Jeremiah. He's lamenting. Five chapters of sorrow and grief, of tears, lamenting. What is he lamenting over? Well, if we were to read Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah's book, that whole big long book, and understand everything that's going on there, or try to understand everything that's going on there, we might understand why he would be writing a book of laments, lamentations. He's sad, he's grieved. Israel has transgressed over and over again. Israel has pushed up against the borders that God established for them over and over again. Not only pushed up against the borders, but they began to step over them. They were overstepping those boundaries. They were mingling with the Moabites. If you recall, that was a bad situation. That was a no-no. They were doing things that God said don't do. They were involved with things that God said don't get involved with. And some of the things that God told the children of Israel not to do or not to get involved with, they were not sin in and of themselves, but God was saying no to them because of where he knew it would lead them. And he knew that getting involved at this level or at that level or crossing the boundary there was going to lead them into direct disobedience, transgression of God's commandments. So Jeremiah is dealing with the grief or the sadness of seeing the children of Israel do the very things that God was saying not to do. But we find here in the third chapter just a few verses that shift away from lamentation, shift away from the lament, and then very soon afterwards picks that lament back up and continues on through the remainder of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and he's lamenting all that was going on. If you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, you will probably see, or something similar to that, you will probably see that chapter 22, there is a paragraph change. The Bible that I have up here with me this morning is not a Thompson Chain, and it does not have a paragraph change there. I believe that the Bible that I have rightly removes that paragraph change at verse 22. But don't find a paragraph change until quite a bit later. I want to begin reading. It's really hard for me to understand or to figure out where I should start reading. I don't want to go back so far that we get bored with the lament and get sidetracked away from what I want to look at. So I think that I will start off here with verse number 18. Chapter 3 of Lamentations, verse number 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. The Amplified Bible takes that a little bit further, takes it beyond what we can see right there in the King James translation. And we see as the Amplified amplifies it, it takes in something that we may very quickly overlook as we read it in the King James, because the King James is very specific, or could I say even that it is succinct in its wording, but the Amplified opens it up. Let me read the Amplified to you there, verse number 19. O Lord, remember earnestly my affliction and my misery, my wandering and my outcast state, the wormwood and the gall. My wandering and my outcast state. You see, that was a part of the lamentation. And so the Amplified pulls that in, draws that into that particular phrasing there. The Israelites had wandered. They were outcast, so to speak, and when we think about their relationship with God. Verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And right there we see that shift that takes place from the fullness of lamenting and the sorrow and the sadness of the Lamentation book here. And we find the shift taking place because now what the writer is remembering something that is very real, something that is very good, something that is praiseworthy, something that provides hope for him. And that's what he said. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh after him. Jeremiah has been looking after his countrymen. And as he looks after his countrymen, as he looks after the children of Israel, he feels, he sees their afflictions. But here for just a moment, his gaze shifts away from the distress of the children of Israel, the sadness of the people that he has been a part and he's been preaching to, and his gaze shifts away from it just for a moment, and it finds its, for just a little while, he finds his gaze grasping heavenward and looking heavenward. We can understand in this very small section here that his vision, the scenes of his vision changes. He's no longer looking at the calamity of Jerusalem, but he's looking at the character and the purpose of the Most High. He is looking, and his attention is absorbed by the great capacity of mercy from the Father. There's a silver lining to to the dark clouds that have been pressing around him. And the rainbow of promise is shining itself brilliantly in the darkness of the horizon. And yet it may be dark on all the way around him, but as his gaze shifts from the earth to the heavens, and from when his gaze shifts from the temporal to the eternal, we see that he is recognizing that there is a brightness that comes from that eternal. For he sees that the mercy of God is renewed every morning. Not only is it renewed every morning, but we find that his mercy is such that it's reaching out even to the wandering people of Israel, the wandering children of Israel, to the point that they should be consumed, but because of this thing called mercy, they are not. We can translate that to you and me this morning. We can shift that all the way around this morning. And if I were to come down off the platform and walk down the center aisle and look at every person in the face and look you in the eye and ask you the question, have you ever wandered or have you ever fallen? Have you ever tripped or stumbled and fallen down? Have you ever been a sad thing to the Lord and fallen from His great hand of mercy? And the chances are likely that every single one of us has some point in our time of spiritual endeavors, of walking with Him, that we have stumbled along the way. And when we stop and think about who He is, the greatness of the majesty of God and His power, and Jeremiah is saying, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. No, I'm not suggesting that somebody needs to fall every day or stumble every day or trip up every day or wander away every day. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just simply being realistic that being from the human race as we are, we have made a mistake here or there in our spiritual endeavors. Maybe it's been a long time since you've really have stumbled spiritually, and that's a wonderful testimony. That is a wonderful gift of God's grace. But Israel here is still wandering around, and they're still struggling with all of these things, and there's people today that are struggling with the same kinds of wanderings. Pressing the borders, mingling where they ought not be mingling, struggling to keep their head above the spiritual waters that are trying to press them down, and the enemy that is trying to discourage or defeat or even make despondent the believer because of the weaknesses. And so we see that Jeremiah sees the Lord's gracious mercy and His compassion. It's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Let that sink in just a little bit. I don't want any of us to have such a picture of God that we get to the point where we think that we cannot make it. Oh, God's looking down over the banister of heaven, looking for me to stumble or looking for me to trip up. Looking for me to make some kind of a mistake. Jeremiah gets a picture of God that it's because of His mercies that we are not consumed. It's because of His mercies that He doesn't strike us down. It's because He has compassion on us. If we just stop and think about it for a while, in our position, in our present circumstances, there's probably someone somewhere that strains our compassion. They really stress the limits of our grace. You don't have to look pious at me as though there's nobody in this entire world. If there's nobody in your world that stresses you or presses you or tempts your compassion, then maybe you're just a little too secluded. And if you can't comprehend that, then just look at the children of Israel in relationship to straining God's compassion. Then surely you'll be able to get an understanding of what he's meaning. Because Israel, mankind, humanity, from generation one till this present day, has continued to press up against or to strain the compassions of God as we look at it from our vantage point. And yet Jeremiah gets a glimpse of the inside of heaven, and he gets a glimpse of the inside of God's heart. And from that he recognizes that his mercy, it's his mercy that stands between consuming us and our sin, or humanity's sin. And it all stems, it all comes out of, it says, because his compassions fail not. Because his tender compassions, the Amplified adds that word tender. Tender compassions fail not. It's not something that we deserve. There's no claim. We have no claim in and of ourselves for its continuation. You and I can't do anything to continue his mercy or to continue his compassion. It's just there. It's a part of who he is, or it is who he is. It's undeserving. When we look at this and study it, or just reflect on it, meditate on it, we would have to come to the conclusion that as we read this, as it sinks into us, it really could be said that his mercy is innumerable, or his compassion is innumerable. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, if we go back to the promise and the covenant that God made with Abram, actually. And God made a covenant with Abram, saying to him that he would produce from him a great nation. And he asked him and told him to go outside of his tent and to look into the heavens and into the skies in the nighttime and to count the stars. And the response was that it was innumerable. Or to go to the seaside or the seashore and to count the sands of the sea. And the response is that it's innumerable. We are unable to. We can't count the stars. We can't count the sand on the seashore. We can't count the extent of the mercy of God or his compassion, because it is innumerable. His compassions fail not. Oh, we may fail. He does not. We might stumble. He does not. We may at times be tempted. To fail, but he isn't even bothered by that temptation. Do you get that? Did you hear that? He's not even tempted to be bothered by the lack of compassion or the end of mercy. Sometimes we would be tempted to lay aside our compassion for people around us. Sometimes we may find it within our heart that we aren't really as thankful as what we ought to be. Maybe ingratitude begins to creep in. We become accustomed to all of our blessings, and we become accustomed to His mercy. We become accustomed to His grace, and we become accustomed to His compassion. And so, therefore, as we become accustomed to these attributes of God, and we just commonly understand that they will not fail, and they will always be there, and every morning they are renewed, and every morning they are fresh. It's not something that we have to rely on from yesteryear. We don't have to go back and think about grandma and grandpa's life and the mercy and the compassion that God extended to them, or go back into the Bible and look at the compassion and the mercy that God extended there. But no, it's refreshed. It's new every morning to you and to me. And so we become less thankful, or we find ourselves dealing with ingratitude. And as we become unthankful or not so thankful, and ingratitude begins to creep in, then we find ourselves as well taking another step, and the temptation is there to rebel against the border, or to rebel against the difference, or to rebel against what God has been saying that we should or shouldn't do. But in the midst of it all, His compassions fail not. It's powerful words. There's advantages to these attributes. Negatively, He said, the advantage to the attribute is that we are not consumed. Positively is that we are saved, or we are blessed. They are new every morning. T.G. Selby said that it is almost startling to find this tender and inspiring utterance embedded in the very heart of a book of Lamentations. It's not what we expect. It's not what we expect, is it? You start reading and you really concentrate on what you're reading. It's not something that we expect, this sudden change as His gaze moves from the temporal to the eternal. Life can be like a hurricane. A hurricane that would haunt the hearts with frenzy and roar and destruction. And you can picture it as though in the midst of that roaring, in the midst of that frenzy, in the midst of that destruction, suddenly now would appear the rainbow. In the midst of a day of chaos or a hectic schedule comes the sweet voice of a child singing, "Jesus loves me. This I know." Or maybe the child is singing, "God loves people, any color, shape, size." Or maybe it's simply just the sweet calm of the mourning dove's coo after a stormy night. His mercy is new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. Inexhaustible forgiveness of God, inexhaustible love of God, inexhaustible grace of God. T.G. Selby said that close by one of the cities in the east, there is a large stretch of grass that is always green. Sometimes the showers are rare and scanty, and the thermometer mounts to an appalling height, and one wonders to see the grass green and lush as though it were growing in some English meadow. It is kept so by the heavy dew that never fails to fall in the nighttime. And so it is with our life of consecration. There is no dawn without the abounding mercy, the abounding love, or the abounding compassion that descends from heaven to keep us lush and green. Someone said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's a perpetual freshness of divine nature. It's a perpetual freshness of divine nature, for we find that every morning brings a new outpouring or a renewed reservoir of God's mercy and God's compassion to usward. The day ahead may be full of trials or difficulties, dangers, temptations, perhaps even sufferings. And for all of those, we need new or renewed grace. The grace that was provided for us, or the mercy that was provided to us, or the compassion that was availed, that we could avail ourselves of from yesterday, are no longer sufficient for today. We have a new supply, a fresh outpouring, a new light from heaven to shine into our soul, because His mercy is new every morning and His compassions fail not. Just as much as the covenant with Abram back in that day when he said that he would provide and he would be a God to him in the midst of a sinful and a dark culture in which he was living, we find the covenant of our God is ready to supply to us all that we need. Because as thy day is, so shall thy strength be also. It's morning. It's morning. And He has provided a fresh outpouring of His mercy, a fresh outpouring of His compassion. His mercies are new. His compassions are new. We don't have to live on yesterday's blessing or yesterday's experience. It can be fresh and new today. But those mercies that are fresh every morning will not last forever. Did I get your attention? Oh yeah, the Bible tells us very clearly, Jeremiah very clearly tells us that they are new every morning and His compassions fail not. They are never ending. But there comes a point in time in our lives when our life ends. And at that point, mercy and compassion finds its finality in our last breath. The gifts that God provides us are set for a definite time to us, according to our breath, according to our life. God's mercies are not like a statue. It's not that they are immobile. They are living and they are suitable to the need. He is living and He is acting in our midst every day and at each immediate moment. We don't have to exhume the antiquated mercies of the past, but we must live in them day by day. And in them live so that the lamentation of the past and the lamentation of the future in this particular book do not apply to our lives, because we have been submersed in His mercy and found compassion to find the grace that He provides us to live pleasing in His sight. I believe in God's faithfulness. God is faithful to each one of us, day by day and moment by moment. How do I know that? Because His mercies are new every morning. And His compassions, they fail not. Praise God. Are you living in the lamentations, or are you living in the bright light of His mercy and His compassion? By God's grace, we can live in the bright light. Let's take our hymn book before we go and turn to Psalm 44.